Hey, a number of weeks ago, we were walking through a series and we were using four stools as just a picture of what it looks like to live the Christian life. And we were talking about what happens when a person goes from not following Jesus to coming into a relationship with Jesus and then growing in him. And so it kind of like the chairs that are up here right now, just this picture of what it looks like to walk with Christ. And then first there's that invitation to come and see. And we actually see those words in Scripture. That come and see, come and get to know Jesus, come and ask your questions, be curious, and just get acquainted with who Jesus is and what he's done for us. And then we had this little table with this cross on it because it's the picture of is from moving from come and see to follow me. Is that invitation that Jesus gives us to follow him and to trust in him and to know that he is our Savior. And that he came to forgive us of all of our sins and to redeem us. And then that call to follow him, follow him and just grow in our knowledge of him, get to know him better and to start walking with him. And that was one of the first invitations that he would give to his disciples and to all who would follow him is just follow me, just super, super simple, follow me. But then after a period of time in Scripture, we see that after people had been following him for a while, then he invited them to participate in his work. And he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And I like to put the emphasis on, I will make you. And you get to fill in the blank there is he was taking that picture of them being fishermen and kind of saying is hey, here's your new work. Your new work is to be a part of my ministry team. And we get invited to be a part of that. We get to be a part of the ministry that God does in the here and now. Is follow me and I will make you. And then there's this go and bear fruit. But that's the bigger picture there is in that passage where he says go and bear fruit. He first says abide in me. Otherwise remain in me, abide in me, be with me. Get to know me, but just find your rest in me. And the picture there is he says I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and go and bear fruit. And at the end of that series, I wanted to invite some individuals to come and share a testimony about what this all looks like. And we had some weeks in between, but at the end of the series, I thought about an email that I got almost exactly 2 years ago, 2 years and 10 days ago. I got an email from an individual who had, sorry, Siri was helping me out there for a minute. Not now. I'd gotten this email, and there's several times over the last few years that I wanted to share it because it's so encouraging to me, because in this email, you get to hear the story of one individual and how they came to Christ through a number of different people. And so you're going to get to see kind of that coming to know Christ and then growing into maturity with Christ this morning. You're going to get to hear that story for yourself. And so I want to invite Tara and Whitney and Chuck to come up and join me. This is really fun for me because I've gotten to reflect on this a lot over the last few years. In fact, a couple of years ago, I got this email, and it was so encouraging to me at the time because sometimes as a pastor, you wonder hey, are people growing spiritually? Are people coming to Christ? Are there good things happening? Because sometimes you just see the trudging through life, a lot of how messy life is. And I can remember getting this email and just being so thankful and so glad and so blessed. And this email came from Tara. And there were three of us that were addressed in the email. And so I want to give Tara a chance to share what she shared in the email, to share her story.
So Pastor Brian at one point had done a sermon series on sharing your testimony, and I felt called to share my testimony, but I didn't know who to share it with. So I was just kind of waiting. And I felt like you needed some encouragement. And I thought, man, he might not even know, you know, how much he's impacted me and my spiritual growth. And as it started to come together, like I was writing outlines and like doing all this research on how to share your testimony in this, because I didn't know how to share it. I just knew that I wanted to. So as it came together, I realized, you know, two people who also impacted me, who, I mean, Chuck, I think you knew, but you know, I just wanted to say thank you. And Whitney, you didn't even know how you played a part in this story. So I just decided to email them one night, and I was like, here's my testimony. I'm so thankful for all of you and the part that you played in it. And so I started just all the way back when I was young, as far back as I could remember, about people starting to teach me about Jesus. But I was so young that I just really didn't understand. We would sing songs like Jesus Loves Me, but I didn't really understand what he had done for me or who he was. And I didn't go to church for years and years. And when we were maybe in fifth or sixth grade, I was staying the night at Whitney's house, and we were getting ready for bed, and I was just chatting along, and she said, "Shh, I'm praying." And I thought, oh, I should pray too. And I did, and I felt peace. And I prayed for years and years, just by myself saying a prayer that I don't know that I really understood even what I was praying, but the words just came, and I always said it, and it always gave me peace. And as a young adult, I felt all this guilt and doubt and fear about not knowing. You know, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to know more. I wanted to seek him, but I was just too scared. And our friend Chuck, he just came into a relationship with God and started going to church where we lived in Bozeman. And every Sunday he would invite us to go, and every Sunday we would say no. my husband and I, we would, you know, just come up with whatever excuse, or we were busy. I don't know. We somehow managed to say no a lot of times. This went on for years, years. And he never pressured us or judged us or anything. He just always invited us to come to church. And I wanted to go, but I, you know, I just listened to the lies. Like, I thought everyone would judge me as soon as I walked through the door, pretty much. Okay. I thought they would be like, oh, she hasn't been to church. And I was like, I don't know the Bible. So when they say turn to this Bible verse, I'm going to be like, I don't know where I'm going with this. So I was scared, and I told myself too, like, I don't need that. So eventually we moved to Big Timber, and Chuck started to going to church here again, and he invited us to go to church, and we still said no. We still did not go. And this this one time he was heading off to a long road trip, and he sent us a text and just said, "You guys, I don't know what took me so long to tell you this, but here's my testimony. You should read the book of John, and I love you guys, and I'll see you when I get back." And it just gave me the courage kind of that I needed to just like get over that hill. I mean, the Holy Spirit had been working in me for so many years, just calling me, and I didn't even know it. And I, at one point, I had tried to read the Bible just all by myself. I was working night shift, and I had an audio Bible that I started listening just right from the beginning, just slogging my way through it, and I'm just not a literary person. I didn't understand it. I don't know. It was weird. It was strange, because without the context of knowing who Jesus is and what God's plan was the whole time, you know, some of the Old Testament stuff just was crazy, and I didn't get it. And Chuck had gotten me a study Bible one time too, and it sat on the shelf getting dusty for years because I was discouraged. But then when I started going to church and getting with God's people and seeing what it really looks like to live a life with the love of Jesus and trusting in God, like with this selfless faith, just and having a shepherd like Pastor Brian, you know, it just lit my soul on fire. So I'm so thankful to you all. And, you know, I hope that this can be an encouragement to someone.
All right. Whitney, you have a part of this story also shared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So when I came to church with Chuck that first time, I was still scared, but I was doing it anyway. And I walked through the door, and there were quite a few people who were like really happy to see me, and Whitney was there, and she gave me this big hug, and it was just so beautiful and encouraging. Like, I felt so encouraged as soon as I got here, and so I've been coming here ever since. This is my church family, and I just am so thankful.
Yeah.
So here's how I fit into my version of her story is I drive to and from Livingston to work every week. And so when I pull into the driveway, when I get home, it's my habit to look at my phone and check my email. So I checked my email this one night. I was feeling heavy-hearted. Work is a big challenge for me. And I got Tara's email, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, what could this be? So I read it, and as I get not very far into it, I'm just crying and crying and crying. And it was just such a beautiful blessing to know that God had used me, even when I didn't realize it, to influence her life. And it really struck me how reciprocal he is, how, you know, he works through us, and then it comes back to us again to bless us. I don't remember that night when we were children praying at all. And I said in the first service, I was just being bossy. But I was so touched to know that God was able to use that, and he was able to use the heritage of faith that had been handed to me, because probably only a couple years earlier, in the same bedroom where we were having our sleepover, my dad had told me what salvation was and told me how I could pray and ask Jesus to be my Savior. And the minute he left the room, I prayed it because I really wanted that. So it's just really beautiful how it all ties together. And then the part about Tara walking into church and getting a hug from me. So Tara and I were very close as small children. We spent a lot of time together. And then as we got to be teenagers, I don't think either of us could really tell you exactly what happened, but we kind of became enemies. And like, it sounds funny, but it really wasn't good. Like, it was sad. Like, we look back and it makes us sad. There was contention. And so the years between being a teenager and moving back to Big Timber and being in this church, for me, were filled with really intensive Bible study and a huge amount of growth and reshaping of my heart for Christ. And so when I saw her, I remember it very well, because I was like, oh, she doesn't like me. This is really uncomfortable. What am I going to do? And I remember the Holy Spirit was like, you hug her. Hug her. Do it. And my flesh said, no. But I obeyed. And in my small act of obedience, it was able to touch Tara's life. And then down the line, it also very powerfully touched mine.
And Chuck?
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I guess the only way I know how to fit my part into Tara's story is to tell where I came from and what happened to me. So I grew up in a good Pentecostal church here in Big Timber with just an amazing example in my parents. Couldn't ask for, in my opinion, better example, you know. Often waking up to my mom, you know, reading her Bible and praying, and my dad also just always being there and being a faithful servant, and so that's my base in my faith, I would say. And I went forward on an altar call at a church camp when I was pretty young, and I don't know what it did exactly in my life, but I grew away or turned away from following Christ and from the church. You know, in my 20s, I kind of went and wandered around and did wild living and you know, all that kind of story. And you know, I think in some ways I was searching for God, but it's still no excuse really. And I guess I was feeling like God was calling me back, and I felt like I should go to church, I guess. And so I actually was going to come to church here, and I drove up, and like all these people coming into the church, and I was just like, oh man, no way, I cannot do that. That is not happening. And so I went back home, and I was feeling pretty rotten about it, believing, you know, the lies that say, you know, reminding us of, you know, you can't even do that. You can't even go into a building. You're a loser. And I was just sitting there, and then all of a sudden, God said he loved me. And I know that every time I hear someone else say, God told me this, or God said this to me, and I'm always like, are you sure? Did he really tell you that? And even after I heard it, I'm still like, but that's all, you know, that's all he said. That's all he had to say was, I love you. And at that point, I turned into the Word, and I was especially drawn to the words of our Savior. And I wanted to go back through the New Testament and just take out the words of Christ and just write that. And it lasted for like two chapters, and then I was just like, I'm just going to read it instead. And I, you know, got into the Word at that point, and was just liberated by Christ, you know. And I felt compelled, and Holy Spirit started urging me, poking me, and saying, you need to, what about these people that you love? You know, you love, don't you want this for them too? And I did. And Tara and James were on that list. And I just, you know, I didn't even, in some ways I failed them by not sharing my testimony sooner. But
it was all God's perfect timing. You know, I tried to, you know, so many times to seek him sort of on my own, and then like what he wove together is just so beautiful.
Yeah, and it is. It's their faith and what's happened in their life and is happening is just an amazing encouragement to me. And I am, like I said in the first service, you know, the only real preparation I did for this was trying to find a verse that I was thinking about, and about where Paul says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do want to do, or something like that. I'm not even gonna, yeah, it's terrible, but yeah, I'm rotten. You know, I feel like we're all rotten, and all that we have is Jesus, and he's our only hope and all that we have. And I just, we got to cling to him and ask him for the lives of our loved ones.
I caught this in the first service, but I just thought about it now, is that must have been an amazing text message testimony.
Yeah, he texted us this. Like, can you, I mean, God will use anything. He is able, and anything can be powerful with his power behind it. So even us coming up here today is just crazy. Like, all four of us yeah. are introverts, and it's like I didn't know how I was going to be able to do this, but we all said, well, we're just relying on the Holy Spirit for this, because we cannot do this at all on our own.
It's interesting. About 3 weeks ago, I was trying to figure out how I could get these three up here, and I think I even mentioned it to Kyle, and he's like, well, I don't know. I don't know if Chuck will do that. But we've asked Chuck to do a lot of things this year, and he said yes to everything. And so, but the other two is this is not comfortable. This isn't comfortable for any of us, but it is, it's very much as we love to talk about what God's doing in our lives. And the three of you have been such an encouragement to me now over a number of years, but to watch Tara and James and their family come into the church and to see the light turn on and just to begin to see God begin working in their lives. And then when I got this 2 years ago, 2 years and 10 days ago, I've come back to this a dozen times probably and just read it when I need encouragement. And it's getting harder to find it in my email because it's getting buried deeper and deeper, but I find it. And it's such an encouragement to me. And then these three are an encouragement to me. Chuck, I'm in the Monday night men's group, and he shares just what he's praying about and how God is challenging him, and that challenges me. And Whitney has just been a part of the life of the church for a long time. She designed the church logo, and it has that cross right there on it. And you can see that little green pathway there. Well, the story there is Whitney and Josh bared with us for over a year while we went through this process. But we wanted a picture of what we're about as a church, and we're about Jesus. And so we went with the most unique, traditional, something that everyone uses, a cross. But that green pathway there is the pathway. It's just that picture of what it means to grow as a disciple of Jesus. And Whitney and Josh did that for us. And we've just prayed for a year and worked that through. And then to see Tara and James and them grow. James was in my office this last week, and he's telling me about how he's reading through the Bible with all of us, reading through the Bible. And I don't know why. I'm so sorry, minors, but I'm always surprised when a minor is just, they're just passionate, and they're, you know, you run those hectic schedules and stuff like that. And he's reading through the Bible, and he's telling me about all of the things that he's learning, and I'm just so blessed. And to see the way that God works in lives and matures people. And so I've seen it in the three of you. You're an incredible blessing to us and a blessing to this church. And if you kind of had one takeaway, one thing that you would say is to us, to encourage us or challenge us, or what's that takeaway that you would say, hey, just think about this?
I guess I feel like, you know, again, James and Tara's faith and what the changes that are happening in them are just such an amazing encouragement. And I would say, you know, just keep asking God, like the persistent, is it the persistent widow and the judge?
Just never give up.
Just
Chuck,
keep asking,
never give up.
keep asking, keep praying for those people in your life that you know, and trust God that he will work in their life, because he does have the perfect plan, and he wants us all to know him. And
yeah, that's so good. And I just love thinking about the ways that he's working that we don't see, and then the ways that he's working that we do see. You know, we don't have to understand everything to know that he is good and he is perfect and he is powerful. And I just love these kinds of stories, thinking far back to the people who built the church here, and just their selfless faith and the way that they hauled all those bags of concrete over to the basement, and the, and you know, just all of those things coming together to save, you know, for Jesus to save people. So it's just cool to think about.
So we got together on Thursday and we're talking about all of this, and as we've been talking, there's three kind of recurring themes that keep being pressed upon my heart. And I guess the first one is just what an incredible blessing it is to leave a heritage of faith to your children. My parents left that to me, Chuck's grandparents, and then his parents, and now Tara's leaving that for her children. And there's just a lot of power in that, and it's just a really incredible thing. So that's one. The second thing that really has been impressed upon me is just the transformational power of being in the Word of God. Each of us can testify as to how much it has affected us as people, and how we interact with other people. And so just spending time in God's Word, alone, as a group, worshiping Him, it really does change your life. So I just encourage everyone to be in the Word of God. And then I think the thing that struck me so profoundly when I first got Tara's email was just that God can use us. He used me, and I'm very flawed, mess up every day, you know, try my best, but I'm a sinner, I'm imperfect. And so the fact that He could use me to do such a beautiful work in someone else's life, it's a testimony to the fact that although we are imperfect, the God that we serve is perfect, and He can do all things immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And that's proof, because we're sitting here right now telling you this story. So just super grateful.
Thank you. Thank you for not just being a part of our church family and serving in the ways that you do, but thank you for sharing your story. Can we say thank you? You know, you may not know it, and we were meeting in my office before the first service today, and the word that came to my mind, and it was used up here, a different word was used several times, is heritage. Because there really is, there's a lot happening, and there's a lot of ways that different people pour into our lives, whether it's our parents and grandparents and or our friends, and how that all weaves together. And I was thinking, because I saw Jim Skolten sitting in the back during the first service, and Jim Skolten's mom was on the founding document. It was just this little letter that was written saying, "Is you know, we have committed ourselves to plant a church here in Big Timber, Montana." And when Tara said sacks of concrete, that's how it started, is they literally, the farmers and ranchers would bring sacks of concrete to the church, and they'd kind of put them together, and they made that basement over there, and they worshiped in the basement together until they could afford to build the church. But it's not about the building. It's about the people that sacrificed year after year after year and shared their lives together. And since 1925. And they didn't know back then that this would be happening here right now. They just trusted that God would be at work, and that He would work in the lives of people, and that people would come to know Jesus through what happened here as a group of people committed to be friends and a church family together, and committed to allow God to use them, and in the process for people to come to know Jesus. It's so simple, so unbelievably simple. You know, when we talk about coming to Jesus, it's just that recognition is that we need a Savior, and that there is one, is that our world is so broken that we need someone who will step in and help, and His name is Jesus. And so when we talk about becoming a Christian, what we mean is we mean saying yes to Jesus. And it's that simple. It's just, yes, Jesus, I know that I need a Savior. And then it's saying, forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. And then you can say, heal me. Cleanse me. And then it's saying, I will follow you. It's literally that simple. It's just, yes, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. I will follow you. And it's that commitment to have Jesus as Savior and Lord, and to just live life for him and with him. And if that's your heart, if you've never done that, then it's just, you can do that just as we close in prayer. Yes, Jesus, forgive me. I will follow you as my Lord and Savior. It's what we've done in one way or another, and what so many others have done. And my prayer is that that you can become a part of the tapestry that God is weaving in our environment and in our community, and you already are. Is that God is working in all kinds of unseen ways as we are being friends together and church family members together. Let's stand and let's close in prayer. Father God, I just thank you so much. I thank you for Chuck, and he's been such an encouragement to Kyle and I and so many others. He's just been faithful and gently persistent. And Lord, thanks for Whitney and Josh, and just the ways that they've also blessed this church family in ways that a lot of people didn't even know. And Lord, thanks for Tara and James and for their testimony. And Lord, I just love hearing about how they're growing and walking with you. And thanks that I get to be a part of this church family. Lord, we're just trying to figure it out, and we make mistakes on the way. And so we just constantly lean on you. We are not perfect. We know that. And I would say that every single one of us here knows that we have a long ways to go. But thank you for your work that you're doing among us in Jesus, and the work that you're doing in each one of us. And Father, if there's just anyone that just said yes to you this morning, then Lord, we rejoice with them. We rejoice that there is a story that each one of us gets to live. So, Father, we pray that you'd help us as a church to be the light of Christ in our community, and we love you so much. In the name of Jesus, amen.